Welcome back to series 5 of the podcast. This is a short collection of interviews that I had with people during the first lockdown, with a focus and emphasis on attention, intention and distraction. Hope you enjoy them.
Fiona and Dec, thank you very much indeed for agreeing to come on the show. It's an absolute pleasure to be able to spend some time with you. So thank you both very much.
Thanks.
Well, pleasure to be here.
That's pleasure to be here. Well, on Zoom, as it were.
On Zoom, yes. Well, the first thing I want to understand from both of you, really, given where we are right now, is what's been happening in terms of your balance over the last few months?
I'll let you go first, Declan.
Yeah, so Jeff, we were exploring it there off air, just about the fact that, you know, fundamental shift for me. Usually my job involves an awful lot of time on the road visiting clients. So it would be pretty regular for me to be spending maybe 3 to 4 nights in a hotel every week. So to actually be grounded in the one place has just been a godsend for me. And it has taken a bit of adapting to. But actually, you know, it's a real sort of an insight for me to say, well, you know, when we go back to this semblance of normality, there's no way I'm going back to the old ways of doing things. So, you know, you get caught up in this belief that you're actively busy because you're running about the place. But really what's come up for me is impact. How can you now make the best impact going forward? And it's certainly not by going back to those ways of racing around the country. So it's been a really interesting learning process for me.
Yeah, I can resonate with that. What about you, Fiona?
Well, for me, it's been interesting in ways I probably wouldn't have expected. So I was coming to the end of having written my second book, and I was about to start into doing a lot more profiling again, which is 4-hour in-depth face-to-face psychological profiling. And it's not really something you can do on Zoom. And equally, it's not really a priority for most clients when the pandemic hit. So the projects that were lined up just flew out of the window. But my coaching has continued. So I coach people, and that's been fine over Zoom and telephone. But I've stupidly managed to find myself other little jobs and topics and projects to do. So I still have no balance because I'm also trying to homeschool 2 children while my husband, who's a busy partner at McKinsey, is on Zoom from 7 a.m. till about 9 p.m. every day.
Fabio, I love that honesty from both of you. And I think what I'm kind of processing and thinking as well is that a lot of the ways of working or the models or the frameworks that we had back before March have gone out the window, and I think there's lots of people that are wanting something from the old world, but not necessarily wanting to go back to how everything was, because we've had this extended period now where we've got used to the idea in most cases, and we found a new pattern or a new way of working for ourselves. I'm keen to understand, within this space of time, what's actually been getting your attention, and where have you been kind of gravitating in terms of, you know, your day or your energy through this period?
Yeah, so for me, I suppose a lot of my work involves helping people get unstuck, people with very fixed outlooks on things, and people struggling with problems and trying to, I suppose, reframe them. And so spending the last number of years dealing with people who've been, you know, fixed and struggling to adapt, like what's really got my attention is how the world has adapted. So if you told most companies that all your staff are going to be working from home, like back in February, they would have said, can't be done, no way, no, not possible. And so on an organizational level, that's proved to be untrue. So if you look at all the other untruths that have been kind of uncovered over the last number of months, it's for me, it's just really grabbed my attention, both externally looking at organizations and different people and how they've adapted, towards actually internally as well. Like, you know, what sort of untruths was I living over the last number of months and years, even in terms of how I was being, how I was showing up, as I said, the amount of travel that I was doing, all of that has been kind of blown wide open. So for me, you know, it's quite exciting because it's almost like a blank canvas. So when people talk about going back to normal, to be kind of very careful in the language you use, is do you really want to go back to normal? Like, so you now actually have the opportunity to perhaps create a new normal for yourself. And there's, you know, the people that I've been speaking to over the last number of years, actually there's almost a fear in them about going back to normal, because, you know, geez, can I really operate at that pace, at that level again? Do I want to even go there? So, you know, it has been quite insightful over the last number of weeks to think about, well, what sort of new normal do you want to create for yourself?
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I would second that. I think it's amazing how quickly companies have pushed through digital agendas and all sorts of things like that that were going to take months. Or I spoke to the vice chancellor of a university who I worked with earlier, and he was saying that decisions that they've made within a few weeks would normally take a year. And so it's all sorts of different organisations. And I've been talking a lot to frontline NHS workers as well. And I was talking to an ICU consultant on Monday, and she was saying, you know, within a space of days, they had to go from 100 ICU nurses to 450. And those 350 were not trained in ICU. And so it was, how do they put in the structure to enable that to work? And it's just amazing, I think, the way people have responded. And I think the thing I've also personally that's grabbed my attention is this sort of juxtaposition of the safety and the security. And we've had great weather in the UK and Ireland, same, I believe, with sunshine and being at home, being with family, to the people that are right up on the front line. And we're not really hearing a lot of what's going on, I don't think. And I think there's this stark contrast between the life and death and the safety. And I've spoken to a lot of people. I've been recording for this documentary, and I've spoken to people globally, and the feeling of middle-class people seems to be one of gratitude, but also guilt. A lot of people saying they feel, you know, they feel bad because they're sat at home and these other people are sort of doing all these life-threatening things. But it's an interesting time, definitely.
Yeah, it is. I want to move on and just explore a little bit distraction, because I think generally distraction gets a bit of a bad press, and you know, there's lots out there to distract us. But certainly one of the things that I've found during this period of time is the value in allowing myself to be distracted, because I have some time. I'm not rushing around. I'm not staying in hotels, as you've said as well, Dec, you know, three or four times a week. I've got time to kind of sit and allow myself to be distracted. And some of it's been wonderful. Some of it has been pure distraction and nothing has come of it. But I'm keen to understand from your perspective, what have you been allowing yourself to be distracted by during this period of time?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing there, if you want to mention in terms of guilt, like sometimes there is a guilt association to allowing yourself being distracted. Like, so first of all, it's overcoming that hurdle and saying, well, actually it's okay to be distracted. And then I think the second thing for me is like, what are you being distracted from? And so there's a real juxtaposition for me to say, the way I was living my life previous to the pandemic and running around, was I using work as a distraction from life? And now has that totally flipped and said, now, am I using life to distract myself from work? So there's a complete juxtaposition there for me. And that's something that I've been trying to navigate, I suppose, over the last number of weeks, is can we get that concept of balance between the two? And is there a healthy tension between, you know, having a work identity, but also, you know, being able to be distract yourself and have that real lived experience, that life identity as well. And also the other way around, well, who's taking the lead at what time?
It's really interesting, because I think I think that's a really great way of describing it, where you have the sort of work distracting you from life and then life distracting you from work. And I think, you know, Jeff, when you talk about the perfect imbalance as well, it's all this sort of constant juggling, and I know that the work that I've done on emotional resilience, and it's not new, people have been researching it for years, but it's described as a wobble board, and it feels like the wobble board has tipped slightly at the moment, but when is it going to tip back again? And do we want it to tip back again? And in what way do we want it to tip back again? I guess that's, sorry, I'm not answering your question, Jeff, which was distraction. I find one thing I've been distracted by more is Twitter, which I never really interacted with before. I was quite anti-social media. I find that myself having to turn Twitter off. The garden, which is just amazing because I've been known before as someone who kills all the plants that come in my direction. And suddenly I'm growing things, they're coming out of my ears. And do you know what? Speaking to friends on the phone has been really nice. It sounds silly, but I think it almost became something we didn't have in my life. I didn't have time for, or I didn't think I had time for. And now making that time to check in on people and check that people are okay, it's really, really nice. I feel like a teenager again, having like long conversations with my mates on the phone. So that's been, for me personally, that distraction's been really positive.
I love your analogy of the wobble board, because I think in some ways that does sum up pretty much where we are, you know, individually, collectively, is we're on this big wobble board. And you know, I know myself, I have days when I'm okay on that wobble board and I'm feeling pretty good and my energy's good and I'm making progress and I'm achieving things, and it might be work, it might be home, it might be homeschooling, and I feel really great on that wobble board. There's other days when I get on that wobble board and it's like I've never been on the wobble board before and I've got no control. And I think what we're starting to see and hear as well in this time is people are a little bit more forthcoming in sharing that actually I'm not having a good day, or yesterday was a write-off, or you know, I'm fed up of Zoom calls, and they're speaking a bit more openly about some of those feelings and thoughts that previously they probably didn't have time or didn't think they had time to talk about, either with their friends or you know, just with themselves. So it's really interesting that you describe it as the wobble board. With that then, how are you personally able to be intentional with anything, whether that's the homeschooling or with work and checking in with clients? How are you able to maintain some intention in your day or in your week?
Yeah, so for me, it's all about boundaries and being quite strict with boundaries. And I will absolutely confess to previous to this, boundaries were kind of out the window really, because when you're in that sort of that treadmill of work and you're kind of you're satisfying client demands all the time and you're on the back burner all the time, so you come last all the time. The boundaries here are actually saying that no, we have this time and space and we'll probably never have it again. So it's about to make sure, well, how can you come through it in an optimum sense? So for me, it is just about creating boundaries. And that means putting a very strict cap on the amount of work that you commit to every single day. And it's really, really hard to step away, because working from home, that work-life balance thing, just that line becomes so blurred, because there isn't that physical distance that you can put yourself between work and home. So that switch off button is really hard, and it's so tempting just to slide the laptop open. So the intentional piece is just about having that boundary in place. But then, like, it can't just be about work. It's about having the boundary in around your own recharge time, the exercise time, that headspace time, and being really intentional about connections. Like, so connections and relationships, they used just happen kind of sporadically, spontaneously. Now that we're in a kind of a lockdown setting, the kind of connection needs to be planned for, like, and trying to get two or three friends on a Zoom call, like, that has to be scheduled. So all this social connection, actually, you need to be intentional about it, otherwise it's, it kind of slips off the radar. And then being really intentional about the switch off time, the distraction, the Netflix binge, the bubblegum for the brain, that kind of stuff. You need that as well. So I think it is the intention, like all your questions are beautifully linked up. The intention is to try to maintain that sense of imperfect balance.
I love it.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, I must admit, I really do struggle with the homeschooling. My 13-year-old is quite self-sufficient and she gets on with it, but my 7-year-old needs a lot of attention to do anything. And then there's the guilt when I go off and do work calls and I come back and she's been watching TV for an hour. And I struggle with that, but I'm intentionally, as Declan said as well, I'm intentionally planning in exercise. So whatever else happens, I do my exercise every day. And I think we've almost been given a permission and a remit to do that, strangely, by the governments who are sort of suggesting that we do our daily exercise. And I've always been an exerciser, but it feels like you have to tick it off your to-do list now. And you're being a good girl or good boy, you know, if you do it. And then the checking in on people, I've had to make that intentional. So when I know that friends are living on their own or people are struggling maybe a bit more, but there've been quite a lot. So I literally have to make a little list and transfer it and think who's worse off at the moment? Who do I need to call? Who do I need to check in on? And then I found the space. It's not been space, but it has been to rethink how I do my work and what my workload is, which I think is basically what we've all been saying. And whether even that's, you're thinking it through on the go, just because everything's so different, it gives you the space, even when you're busy, to just see things from a different perspective. Again, I'm not sure I'm completely answering your question there.
But it's what's happening for you. And I think actually there's an element of that happening for all of us. We're rethinking whether it's the work we do or the relationships that we have or the importance of exercise. We're all rethinking what we do with them. And for me, you know, that's the beauty of having these conversations, is it varies from person to person, and it's wonderful to hear what you're both doing. I read quite early on when this pandemic took hold that if you haven't learned a language or picked up a second instrument or read 50 books during this period of time, then you've really missed the opportunity. And I smiled when I read it because I thought that's just outrageous. But there's something in it in terms of, you know, what we do as well in this time that perhaps we never had the time to do before and we're unlikely to get again. So I'm asking each of my guests on the show, if you could spend 1% of your day, so 14.4 minutes of your day, doing something for the remainder of this period, however long it might be, what would you do?
Yeah, I've heard that bit as well, Jeff, and it's daunting as well. Like, it puts an awful lot of pressure on people because there's that guilt factor comes in again.
Yeah.
I can't have the conversation in Spanish by the end of lockdown. I've failed, I've wasted an opportunity. But, you know, to be fair, our only job during lockdown is just to be, like, and that's it. If you manage that, that's success. So trying to take that weight of expectation off people first. But for me, and this is fresh out of the packet, but I started meditating last week. I tried it a couple of times, a couple of false starts for over the number of years, but I've managed to do a couple of, I think I'm on the sixth straight day of it now. And like, it's really good, but I have to drag myself kicking and screaming to sit down. And kind of, you know, people who know me, I struggle to sit still at the best of times. So to actually just sit down there and do the 20 minutes and allow the thoughts to come and go, it's a real struggle. But, you know, I think I can see what the whole fuss is all about. I would be able to report a bit more clarity in my thinking, a bit more clear, a bit more purposeful. And I suppose going back to how we're thinking about, well, how do we want to shape the new normal? I think it's something that 1% that really, really might help to clarify my thoughts, is to see where I want to go in the future. What does the, these new ways of working look like? So I definitely felt the benefits, but as I said, it's fresh out of the packet. So you might want to check back with me next week to see if I still have
Lean back. I love it.
I love that. I struggle on and off with meditation, but I think it's an amazing. It's when I have done it consistently, I have started noticing that if I wake up in the night, I can get back to sleep quicker. It's I mean, from a you'll both know this, but from a neurological perspective, it strengthens the pathways between the frontal lobe of the brain and the emotional centers of the brain. So it just does give us more control or ability to manage our emotions. Having said that, I don't do it all the time. It's a case of do as I say, not as I do on that one. But I thought about this before. So that would be stealing your one. So I'm not going to do that one, Declan. And I had thought about it before, Jeff, when you'd sort of sent through what we might talk about. And this isn't something I have done methodically, but I will try to do now that I'm saying it online. Is to split that 14 minutes to 7 minutes in the morning to just thinking and planning my day. Because it's only 7 minutes, but I think you can actually, when you first wake up, you can think through your day with probably more clarity than any other time of the day. And 7 minutes in the evening, it sounds cheesy, but to think about what I'm grateful for. And I think, you know, it can be wrapped up in the wrong image, but it's really, really immensely helpful to look at what you feel grateful for. Again, just refocuses your brain before you go to sleep on what's good. So that's what I'm going to try and do. And I'm going to try and commit to that. So if we check back in on Declan, make sure he's doing his meditation. And then you can check back in on me and make sure that I've sort of fulfilled my end of the bargain.
Yeah, I love both of them. I have tried meditation in the past and fallen out with myself because I've turned myself off for not switching off and just allowing things to happen. So my wife's just started doing meditation this week. So we'll see what happens there. It might be something that I give a go to, but it's your time. And I think that they're both good things to do in terms of how you split that 14% up, 14 minutes up. I will check in with all of my guests and see how you're getting on. In terms of the conversation and what you shared with me this evening, thank you both very much indeed for agreeing to come on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to pick your brains and understand what's going on in your world and what's getting your attention, what you're allowing to distract you, and also where some of your intention is going. So thank you both very much indeed.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.